This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
How many of you want God to use you? Okay, well, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff God has to do to you before he can do very much through you. Everything is beautiful in its time. But out of season, it can just be an absolute mess. There's a right time and a wrong time for every matter under the sun. And when we mature enough to be able to discern the seasons, it's a very good thing in our life. Sometimes you won't change unless you come to a crisis point in your life, and that crisis forces you to change. But hopefully we'll get smart enough to recognize the signs and make the changes while we can still make them because we choose to, and not make them because we're forced to and have no choice. Amen. How many of you don't get enough sleep? You know what the answer is to that? Go to bed. I mean, to be honest, a lot of our problems would not be that hard to solve. Well, I know I should go to bed, but I know I should drink more water, but I know I should start saving some money for when I retire, but I know I should mind my own business, but I probably shouldn't say this, but come on, we need to get the buts out of our life and start just doing what we know that we should do. Let's just make a decision here today that we're going to get a lot better at letting things go so God can usher in the new thing that he has for us. It doesn't really make any sense to try to keep hanging on to something that God's done with, because once God's finished with it, you're never going to enjoy it. Amen? God's even shown me about giving things away. That once he asks me to give something away, if I keep it after that, there's no longer any anointing on it for me to enjoy it. I may keep it and look at it, but I won't enjoy it because it doesn't belong to me anymore. God's already said, give it. Rushing through one season to get to the next one causes problems too. Maybe you're in a waiting season and you're tired of waiting, so you're going to do something about it. Or maybe you are at a job that you don't like and you're just tired of waiting on God, so you just decide you're going to quit anyway. You know, a lot of times we just get tired of waiting and we just go make decisions that are foolish. You need to stay put until God releases you. And when God releases you, then you need to go. I had a job one time in ministry, and I wasn't being treated properly, and I wanted so bad to get out of there and go do my own thing, but I knew in the depths of my heart, God did not want me to go yet because he had not released me. Well, by the time God told me to go, I'd gotten to the point where I liked it, and then I didn't want to go. So you don't always get to do what you want to. Now, here's an example about rushing through seasons. One year in Missouri, we had a very warm winter. Well, during the winter, we thought it was great. This was cool, man. It's not even cold this winter. It's almost like not even having winter. And we thought it was all great until we discovered in the spring that it never got cold enough to kill the bugs. So we had bugs, and more bugs that spring. And we had an epidemic of ladybugs. And we had ladybugs, you know, like how Pharaoh had frogs in his driveway, frogs in his ovens, frogs in his bed. Well, we had ladybugs everywhere. I'm not exaggerating to say we had hundreds of ladybugs in our house. And, you know, sinus and allergy sufferers didn't like it because it never got cold enough to kill off the stuff that bugged them in the spring. So it may seem like fun to be able to skip through one season and get to the other one. But a lot of people, for example, they want to skip through the season where God deals with us and chastises us and changes things in us, and they want to go straight from being born again to, you know, some great big thing in their life. But they, you know, you can have charisma that will get you somewhere, but not enough character to keep you there once you get there. Come on, you want me to say it again? You know, when I was teaching 20 people in my living room floor, I could preach then just like I do now. And I used to watch people on television, preachers on television, and I remember thinking, well, I don't know why God's got me stuck in my living room. I can preach better than that. Well, that was why I was stuck in my living room. It wasn't that I couldn't preach, but I had an attitude. Come on. I'm talking to you. You know, you may sit out there and think, well, I applied for a job on the worship team, and they didn't hire me, and I can sing better than anybody up there. Well, until you lose that attitude, you'll keep sitting right where you're sitting. Because God is much more concerned about our attitude and our character than he is what we can do to impress people. So a lot of times, if you know that you're real gifted and you don't understand why God's not using you, maybe you better do a character check. Ask yourself, how do I treat people? How am I when it comes to criticizing and judging other people? You know, those are the things that are important to God. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. Amen? God sees our heart. And that's why sometimes God will use somebody that you can't figure out why in the world he would be using them. Because the package doesn't look too impressive. But God knows they've got a heart of gold. We need to pay more attention to our inner life than our outer life. Listen, if we spend as much time getting spiritually ready to go out as we do changing our clothes 5 times and putting on a pound of makeup, you know, it takes me about 45 minutes in the morning to get it looking from the way it was when I got it out of bed to now. Well, thankfully, I did learn a long time ago. I spend usually a couple hours with God before I ever get around to trying to dress this thing up. But there were years in my life when I didn't do that. And, you know, I might have put makeup on it and made it look good, but it was ugly to God because of the way I acted. Hello? No matter how pretty somebody thinks you are at work, God looks at our attitude, our character, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we talk about people. And you will have seasons in your life where God just turns you every which way but loose. Seasons of chastisement. Seasons of nothing going your way just to see how you'll act. Plowing up the fallow ground. There's plowing seasons in our life. Just imagine if you were a field full of dirt that had never been plowed, and all of a sudden a farmer brought in a plow and started going through that field and plowing it up. If you could feel, it wouldn't feel very good. And the fallow ground in our life, the hard, rocky soil in our life has to also be plowed up. How many of you want God to use you? Okay, well, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff God has to do to you before he can do very much through you. Amen? Oh, my Lord, if I could even begin to explain to you what all I had to go through to be standing where I'm standing today. Oh my gosh. I had such a bad attitude from the way I'd been treated. I felt sorry for myself. I had a chip on my shoulder. The world owed me. I was rebellious, especially toward any kind of male authority. Ew. And God just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And you know what? I didn't understand why God wasn't turning me loose on the world. And I look back now and I am so glad. So glad that God made me wait. I am so glad that he didn't let me get into a position where I would have made a complete fool out of myself and brought shame to his name. Don't be in such a hurry to get where you're going. Take the time to let God do what he needs to do in you. And when the time is right, he will be able to do something through you. But your spiritual maturity is much more important than standing on a platform somewhere sharing your gift. Amen. The plowing season. Once you've put your hand to the plow, the Bible says, don't look back. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. When you're working hard, don't think about how hard it is. Think about the harvest. Amen. When you're going through things that are hard, don't just, oh, this is so hard. I don't know if I can take this. I'm going to quit, God. I'm going to give up if this doesn't stop. If I don't get a breakthrough today, God, I just can't go on. Lord, if Joyce doesn't call me out and give me a word, I don't think I can stay saved. Well, I've got a word for everybody in the building today. Grow up. And I say that to myself, too. I never say anything to you, though, that God hasn't said to me. You can be sure of that. Amen. The Bible says that we're to plow in hope. You know what hope is? Hope is an expectation that something good is about to happen at any minute. I love that. We should live with that kind of expectation. And when things are hard in our life, we need to go through it with hope, not a bad attitude. We need to say, this is going to work out for good. This is happening for a reason. I need this. I may not feel like I need it, but God's going to work it out for my good. This is going to help me grow up. This is going to help me mature. I'm getting experience that I can use later on in life. Amen. You know, there's nothing that trumps experience. You know, one of the reasons why you believe what I say is because you know that I've been through what I'm talking to you about. I didn't just go buy a dollar sermon book and make all these messages up. I've lived this stuff. And when I tell you that God will work everything out for your good if you trust him, I know from experience that God will work everything out for good if you trust him to do it. When I tell you that if you won't quit and you won't give up, your time of harvest will come, I can promise you that your time of harvest will come. And while you're plowing, you can plow in hope. 1 Corinthians 9:10, does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. I love that. Fallow ground has to be plowed up. And when it's being plowed up, it's not that much fun. It's difficult. Learning how to obey God is difficult. But once you learn how to promptly and quickly obey God, life gets sweet. Sweet. You know, the answer to every problem is find out what God's saying and do it. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. That means get prepared for blessings. Maybe right now your fallow ground is you're angry at somebody and you just won't let it go. I wonder how many people there are in here today that need to forgive somebody. Okay, let me tell you something. The biggest problem that we have as believers is unforgiveness, staying offended, being mad at people. I mean, it is the number one problem in the church. If we would all learn how to forgive quickly as Christ forgives us, come on. What would happen in the world if Christians actually started to love each other? Wow, imagine that. Then our bumper sticker might mean something to somebody. But as long as all we've got is a bunch of stuff hanging all over us that says, I'm a Christian, all we do is get watched. So if you're going to put bumper sticker on your car, you better not break the speed limit and cuss at people. Come on, you may not like everything I say, but you won't be confused. Come on, let's camp here for a minute. It's time to forgive. It's time to let it go. It's time to get over it and get on with your life. Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know what's been done to you, but I do know what was done to me. And I know what's been done to a lot of other people. And I also know what we've done to Jesus. There's no reason for anybody. You cannot find an excuse good enough to hang on to anger. Come on, you can't find an excuse. Well, you just don't know. But you see, it's not that what happened to you is not important. But here's the thing. When you forgive, you're not doing your enemy a favor. You're helping yourself. I wrote a book on forgiveness, and I called it Do Yourself a Favor and Forgive. We're helping ourselves when we obey God. Everything that God tells us to do, you say, but I just can't get over it. Okay, maybe you can't get over the feelings right away, but I'll tell you what will happen if you'll start to do what God tells you to do. You start praying for the people that you're mad at and see how long you can hate them. Come on, you start praying for them every day. You pray for them to be blessed. You pray for God to bless them. And if an opportunity comes along and there's something they need and you can meet that need, you go meet that need. Even if it gives your flesh the creepy crawlies, you go and do it. Because that's exactly how you break the power of Satan off of your life when you start acting like Jesus. Amen? Come on, if you're the pastor of a local church and somebody that you've nurtured up in the Lord and been like a son to you in the Lord, he takes half your congregation and moves down the street, buy him a new sound system. Come on, you can't, love never fails. Hatred, resentment, bitterness always fail, but love never fails. God has given us a weapon like no other weapon, and it's the warfare of love. And not only that, it's just flat out fun. It's just fun to make the devil mad and have him have to sit around and watch you love somebody that's mistreated you. Woohoo! What season are you in now? Or is God dealing with you about being less selfish? No answers? Okay. How about being more disciplined? How about getting out of debt? Well, then you got to quit flipping plastic everywhere you go. It's so much fun to say, put it on my account. But the bill comes. Amen? How about, has God been dealing with anybody about it's time to get healthy, time to start taking care of yourself? How many of you, God is dealing with you to stop eating junk all the time? So don't fight the seasons of your life, and remember that, don't ever think that you can always do what you've always done, because things are going to have to change, and when they do, don't fight it. It just makes you miserable if you fight it.
Joyce is absolutely right. Change is inevitable. Things in our lives are going to change. But the hardest thing is, when they do, to stop fighting it. Sometimes we just need to go with what God wants to do in our life. So try to remember, it's experience that we'll need later in life. It will prepare us for the wonderful future that God has for us. But there is no doubt, change is hard sometimes. But God never leaves us in a hard place. He's constantly moving us through this journey called life. Joyce has a book that's really good, and it's a really easy read. It's called Enjoy Your Journey, and it helps you to understand there are wonderful things in every single day. And she also has a teaching that we are going to offer together with that book today called Pressing In and Pressing On. It's three audio teachings on digital, and they are going to help you continue to go when you might feel like giving up. You need a little help pressing in and pressing on. This is the offer for you. So pick it up today. Now, don't go away, because after the break, you'll meet a soldier who returned from Iraq only to fight a new battle here at home. That's coming up next.
Life is a journey with many ups and downs, and it's up to us to learn to enjoy it. John 10:10 tells us that Jesus came so that we might have and enjoy an abundant life. Discover biblical principles for living a fulfilling and joy-filled life with Joyce's small book, Enjoy Your Journey. Start enjoying where you are on the way to where you're going. Along with the book, you'll also receive Joyce's three-part audio teaching series, Pressing In and Pressing On. Learn to press into God's incredible purpose for your future. You don't have to settle for a mediocre life. If you put these practical principles into action, these audio teachings will be available to you anytime in your Joyce Meyer Ministries app library, so you can listen whenever you'd like. These resources are available for your gift to the ministry of $25 or more. Connect with us today. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
So, you've never been to a Love Life Women's Conference? What? Well, this is the one. This is the 40th anniversary celebration, and it is going to be big. And we're back in St. Louis, where Joyce began it all. Register now at joycemeyer.org.
Some people just push your buttons. And no matter how hard you try to love them, they take you from zero to on edge in no time flat. So how do you see the good in people when it's really hard to find? Joyce Meyer wants to show you in her new book, Loving People Who Are Hard to Love, a step-by-step survival guide to help you navigate those difficult relationships and a world in need of God's love. Loving that difficult person may not change the world, but it could change yours and theirs. Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. Pre-order your copy today.
Long after the battle is over, a growing number of our nation's heroes return from active duty facing the most fearsome enemy of all, the battle being waged in their minds. Take a look at the difference you're making through a Christ-centered program helping veterans regain their solid footing in life.
Things happen in the military that you can't expect. I deployed to Iraq as a gunner. Got hurt, and then when I got out, I was depressed on pain pills, and I was in my room for 2 years, wouldn't leave. I felt like the military gave me a purpose. Like, I was proud to strap my boots on every day, and then once I didn't have that no more, I was just lost.
Even though the threat of physical war is over when soldiers like Sean O'Neill come home, a new war often awaits them, one that attacks their minds and holds their futures hostage. Hand of Hope, the outreach arm of Joyce Meyer Ministries and the Los Angeles Dream Center, have joined forces to provide a place of refuge for veterans like Sean.
The Transitional Living Center at the Dream Center is really allowing them, first of all, to get off the streets and get out of homelessness and to start rebuilding their lives, not only to minister to their need, but minister to their potential. So when they come here, we give them a place to live. We help them with bank accounts and basic everyday type of things to help them rebuild their lives. We have a computer lab set up to help them research what's going on, and a faith-based place for these guys to grow spiritually. And just getting away, because so many of them live in Skid Row and under bridges, and getting them on a campus. Environment's the very thing that changes people the most, I think, is just being in the right environment. You're kind of naturally pushed to greatness because that's the core value of the campus.
I am diagnosed with PTSD. I'm technically 100%, so yeah. At first, it was hard. It was really hard. Like, there'd be days where I wouldn't want to talk to nobody. I wouldn't want to do anything. But now, I can just come talk to one of my leaders here. They'll pray, and then they just shower you with love and patience, and they just, like, they take their time with you. You know what I mean? You can work on getting your mind right, work on getting, you know, filling yourself up with the Spirit. Like, you know, you work on getting a good foundation, you know? So it's a great place.
To be able to do something like this and not have to wait on the government to tell us how to do it is the beautiful joy of a faith-based place like this. Change doesn't happen with just allowing people to have a place to stay or a bed to live in, but it comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to say thank you for allowing this dream to become reality. And because of your giving, people like us are able to stay on the front lines and helping people. Because of people like you that make it happen.
It is really wonderful to see how God restores these veterans' life. I remember meeting Sean, and as he spoke about his pain, just being heartbroken for what he and so many other people are going through. But there is a way that we can share hope with them, and we don't want to just let them suffer on their own. We need to do everything that we can. You see, God takes all their pain and suffering, and he can turn it around, giving these soldiers who have given so much to our nation a new beginning in him. When you join with us at Joyce Meyer Ministries with your financial giving, you're literally changing lives. And you're part of what we just saw. You see, we work together with the Dream Center of Los Angeles. We work together with you. And God uses all of us together to make a difference. Our Hand of Hope outreaches touch every area of life, from feeding and educating children to freshwater wells, medical care, disaster relief, so much more. And what you just saw today, helping veterans like Sean. Your special gift today will do more than you ever realized possible. So when you give a gift to Joyce Meyer Ministries, to our Hand of Hope outreaches, you are making a long-term investment into people's lives who need to know that there is hope for them. Reach out to us right now. Let us know that you would like to do what you can. No gift is too large or too small. We just love hearing from you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.